Podcasting 2.0 for May 13th, 2022, episode 85, Loot the Room. And we are lit. That means the live item tag is in effect, finally. More about that in a moment. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0, the official board meeting for Podcasting 2.0. We discuss the podcast namespace, the podcast standards, everything happening at podcastindex.social. And we got a guest today. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama. He parses feeds faster than Podping. My friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Mr. Dave Jones.
What up, cuh? you know cuh? Do you know that?
Cuh? Cuh?
Yeah.
Is it like cousin, like short for cousin?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What up, cuh?
What up, cuh?
When you have an 18-year-old who's laid up in your house with a broke leg, you get a lot of unscheduled together time with dad.
Yeah.
And, I'm learning all the lingo.
Oh, okay. Now, yeah. I was really wanting to ask you about this. Do you lord this over him in a way, kind of like, once in a while, just to remind him that he's a shit kid? I mean, do you just say, hey, by the way, look what I'm doing for you, you idiot?
I don't, not that angle. I take more the angle of you're at my mercy.
And excellent. It's just little parenting insider stuff. It's fun for parents to do.
Yeah. Don't get cute.
Oh, man. So, second attempt at using all of the live item tag, the lit infrastructure for our board meeting today.
So instead of a shit show, this was a lit show because this was a mess.
Yeah.
Like 30 minutes of pre-show fiddling around with RSS feed caches. And it was funny because in my mind, I'm envisioning Adam and Mitch. With those big big stone wheels from medieval times with a humongous set of scissors just sharpening those scissors.
Yeah, a sharpening stone that spins around.
Yeah, head down, sparks flying everywhere. just firing up some scissors.
Why don't we bring Mitch in right away, man? Because we've already been talking to him for half an hour trying to get all this stuff right. So you should know him as the master behind Podverse. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the board meeting, Mitch Downey.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Fellas.
What up, fellas?
Hi, guys.
You gave me a hard time for guys last time, so I'm mixing it up.
I appreciate that. Yeah, cuh. What up, cuh?
Yeah, long time no talk, Mitch, except from just a few minutes ago when the craziness went down. I mean, are we live now? Do we know?
We're definitely live. And and actually, Mitch, you've been you and Stephen B have been on the forefront of this lit stuff, the live item tag. And you have some other, I don't really understand even what the Podverse live ping and notification is doing, but we're certainly not doing it right here. And part of that is because I use Sovereign Feed and that outputs an RSS file that I then put on the server, and that's a custom made content delivery network that was not really intended for a lot of changes in files to be reflected immediately. So, and which is because of the massive traffic and data it has to deliver several times a week. So there's all kinds. I presume, would you say that's right, Dave? That's why it's all complicated because
So, but like the no agenda network CDN is tuned over many years of trial and error to handle over 1 million downloads of traffic within a few hours.
It
wants to be able to handle hundreds of thousands of downloads, within just the span of an hour.
Yeah.
And so the caching is set up, and this is what I'm understanding because I've talked to
Mark Void Zero.
Mark. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Way back when he first started setting up Varnish and the way the caching works, I was helping him out a little bit and we were fooling with some stuff and trying to get all this to work. And I think he just tuned it very specifically to be aggressively cached so that it could handle all that. And that's not really conducive
helpful. Not really helpful.
Quick testing. Yeah.
But the problem is
I have to have my RSS feed on this same infrastructure, because when I didn't, well, you saw the bandwidth bills.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, it's a nightmare. But you know what? What we could do, though.
Yeah, okay.
What we could do is, and I was thinking about this in light of Sovereign Feeds with the new webhook delivery, which is awesome.
Which is already being implemented.
So
by the Yensa show to do an FTP webhook.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you told me that. Yeah. Do you know about this, Mitch? Did you see that?
No, I don't.
Yeah, so Sovereign Feeds. So Steven has it coded up where Sovereign Feeds, when you publish a change, it will deliver the entire feed in a webhook of your to a webhook URL of your choosing. So you could have it just rather than having to generate the feed, save it to a file, copy and paste it, or upload it to a CDN, you just set up your CDN to receive the webhook and they can just drop it where it needs to go when you hit publish.
Very sexy.
Yeah, that would be great. We need automated tools to
That would solve a lot of stuff right here. And, you know, the cache busting thing is my own personal issue, but...
Go ahead, Mitch.
The issue is definitely cache, I would say, based on the looks of it. This is a good test because it shows that this is a challenge we need to solve. That typically, an RSS feed, you don't need instantaneous updates from. Caching is usually a good thing.
Right.
But for live notifications that are embedded within the RSS and using Podping, we need it to refresh and also force all of the clients that are going to pull from it to get that latest version. So we did have successful tests with Behind the Schemes and Bowl After Bowl earlier this week.
Oh, yeah. So no, I can see Sir Spencer's in the chat going, I know this works. It all works. You guys just don't know what you're doing. Okay, boomer.
We need to hire Sir Spencer as a consultant is the issue.
Yes, we do. Here's the login. You do it. Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. You know, sometimes I'm so tired after longer shows. I make dumb mistakes. And when you make a dumb mistake on the RSS feed, it's painful.
This is something that I need to talk to Alex about because, you know, the caching thing has come up before. We've discussed it. And I'm thinking that we may want to change the spec, the live or the status change spec within Podping, to maybe put in a URL parameter or something at the end of the feed URL as a cache buster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, well, Dave, check your phone if you have notifications enabled.
I do.
Tell us about this part, Mitch. So Podverse now has actual notifications popping up when your favorite podcast goes live.
Yeah, we added notifications both for new episodes, which is a very commonly requested feature, and now with live feeds, you know, live streams going live. And I did just receive a notification on my phone that says Live Podcasting 2.0.
Yes, May 13th. Seeing that in the chat room now, too. Cool.
Awesome. Why am I not getting it? I wonder if it's a phase rollout or something.
Right. And so I know CurioCaster is working, but not for me yet. So that's, you know, that can just be brave caching. You know, it's just caching is good and bad.
Yeah. We'll figure this out.
It's really good and bad. Yes.
If people go to Podverse FM.
Bang, there it is. I got it. On air. Oh, it even says on air. Oh, cool.
Hell yeah.
Nice. I still don't have it. I wonder, Mitch, do you know if...
sorry. I'm a nerd. I'm a nerd. No, that's on the computer.
Oh, sweet. And so, Mitch, does the... Cool. I think I'm running the beta in test flight. Does it have separate notification settings, do you know, on iOS?
I hope everyone's following along and going, you know, dude, what are these dudes doing? Talk about stuff. You're just playing on your phones. Yeah. This is crazy. Okay. So that works. That's very cool. Mitch, fantastic. Stephen B., fantastic. I love this. And I'm going to throw out another challenge, speaking of Alex Gates. For the board meeting and the board meeting only, I just bought this fantastic camera for, because I do so many podcast interviews. My lovely wife finally said, dude, invest in something. Get to this. You look like crap.
Oh, good for her.
Yes. And so I got this, what is it? OBSBot. So it tracks, and, you know, so it, if you move to the left or the right, it subtly kind of moves with your head motion. Can follow you around the room, but it's very small, works really well. I'm extremely happy with it. 4K, fantastic. I want to stream, at least my end, video during the board meeting. More over the shoulder so you can see what I'm doing than me, because that would just be annoying to me.
So I want to
broadcast video through a No Agenda tube.
I
want that to go live.
You're a brave man.
I have to do it because I got to get stuff set up for Mo.
True.
He's chomping at the bit, man.
You got to dive in at some point.
C-Mike, that's why it will be focused on the more what I'm doing than me, because the Tourette's, the AI just goes crazy. It doesn't know how to follow me. Now, if they could make a camera that would automatically smooth the motion so it didn't look like I had Tourette's, the reverse, that would be very cool.
That would be a highly valuable camera.
We're ready to add video live streams also. The only blocker for that is that we don't have a stream to test with.
Right. So that's why I throw it out to Alex Gates. He'll tell me what I need to do, what I need to get, and we'll figure this out. We should be testing this. We should be moving this forward. And this is the place to do it. And I'll have a big, shiny pair of scissors here on the desktop.
So, Mitch, do you want to walk, for the benefit of everybody who's listening to this and has absolutely no idea what we're talking about, do you want to walk through the steps that happen on the backside? I would like to hear you, like, give the linkage from step to step of what happens when somebody goes live and until the point where it gets a notification on listeners' phones, because you just went through all this getting set up with sending pod pings and all that stuff. You want to take a crack at that?
Sure thing. So if a podcaster wants to share their live stream with every app, which is the beauty of podcasting, you put it in an RSS feed and it becomes available everywhere. They need to add a new tag, podcasting 2.0 tag, called live item to their feed. And then our servers parse out that information like normal. And when we find this feed says a live stream is going live, I missed a step. Podping has to notify us that the live stream went live. So Podping sends a signal to us that tells us to parse the feed. And then we shoot off notifications to every podcast app that is subscribed to that live stream.
Cool. Yeah, on the Podping side, you got set up. I'm guessing, I don't know if I think Alex set you up, not Brian. They set you up with some Hive posting keys. So you're not sending notifications through podping.cloud because we are still on version 0.3 of Podping format, and the Podping format 1.0 is needed for the live notifications. So you've got the new Hive Writer script and your own set of Hive posting keys. So you're writing directly to Hive, right?
Yeah, correct. Alex has been a huge help getting set up with this. So we have our own Podping writer running within our server. And so podcasters currently go to our site and click Start Live Stream, and that tells all podcast apps that this podcast is going live.
So what does that look like on the dashboard side? Like when you go to...
Excuse me, can I ask a question? So what exactly... So I issue a pod ping, but I understand that my pod ping is yesterday's news. And so right now, as a bridge, you've created a modern new version with the live pod ping that alerts, that goes to pod ping and alerts all apps, or just Podverse?
Well, the apps who listen to pod ping get these notifications. Okay. So they just have to opt in to be listening to pod ping updates.
Right. And I guess
every app in RSS host should be doing these days.
Right. So my question is, right now I can you're graciously making this available, but this should be something that's available in Sovereign Feed, should have the live pod ping other than the pod ping I have now. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So Sovereign Feeds or any company that hosts RSS feeds for podcasters should just make this a simple input and a drop down, like, here's my live show description. My status is going live now. Hit save. And then they should handle all this stuff on the back end. The user shouldn't even be aware of it.
I have a question about your, in general, just the thinking about this stuff. And since you're an app developer, but I'd love to ask every app developer. We're, in essence, recreating YouTube. And I say that because, in general, podcasts that go live, the majority are live to YouTube or actually multiple sources, you know, Rumble, other backups, whatever they call them. And after that's done, then in our case, it's a little bit different. But with YouTube, then it's, you know, after a while, it appears as the uploaded, you know, the you can replay it, you can watch it. It's just a YouTube episode. But it has chat. It has Super Chat, which is Boostagrams that we're using. Haven't seen many boosts, by the way. Hello. I should open up Helipad, make sure I can hear them. So having that in mind, and I don't know if you agree with what I'm saying there, but that's kind of how it feels to me, that this will be used more for video. In fact, I think it's a YouTube killer with this, you know, an open source YouTube killer with stuff that we're doing. Have you considered a UX or UI change for a live item versus the kind of traditional, this is an episode view?
Well, right now we fit it in with the current experience of episode, but we make sure live goes to the top of the page mm-hmm. and is prominently there. Mm-hmm. That allows us to kind of seamlessly fit it into what we have currently. But I mean, hypothetically, we could start live.podverse.fm and it could be exclusively live streams.
Mm.
We could just, you know, select only that data for shows that are live streams.
Interesting.
So that
immediately brings in, you kind of walked into my trap. I wasn't even expecting that. that brings up another thing. I don't know if you followed Albie.
Oh yeah. I just talked to, Boomy and
the German guys.
Moritz on Wednesday.
Yeah. Right. Two lovely German guys. I don't know them, but they're German guys. They're lovely. They are so close to basically having, you know, a wallet for everybody to easily use with, you know, a web-based version of any podcast app once they identify, you know, so right now they identify the address, the Lightning address, and so they understand, you know, so they give you a Lightning address, but they, if they see it on a page with a little Lightning bolt, then the extension that is Albie recognizes that, and so you could the payment information pops up immediately. I presume that if we gave them a way to with whatever, you know, HTML or code that you put into your page, an identifier, so they could pull up the value block from the index piece, API, then they could, in essence, become an, you know, we could onboard a lot of people who already have an Albie wallet right into podcasting 2.0. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's my understanding. So if we integrate with Albie, which would just be as simple on our end as putting some text information in the file. So
right.
Just, we don't have to code anything complicated. You literally just take some V4V tag information
right.
embedded in your page, and then their browser extension can grab that information. And when you pop open the browser extension, it'll just say, "Hey, do you want to send to this podcast?"
So this is exciting to me, because you remember, although I'm still digging into the numbers, you might remember 40% of women listen to podcasts just on the website.
Yeah.
What an opportunity, and I'll just say it again, it is my belief that podcast apps have an incredible opportunity to deliver beautifully designed homepages. And I would give you a split in my value block for that. Because all the other, you know, pages that generate a home page and an episode page for RSS feeds, they're all 1.0. It's like, and you know, buttons for iTunes and all that shit, stuff I don't want. You know, I want it to be modern. I want it to, you know, all of that should go away or be done in a different way. And I would pay for that. I'd put a split in for those services. And if that could then automatically detect an Albi wallet, big win.
Yeah. Well, I'd need to know more about the design requirements for that. But this Albi solution will be easy for anybody to add to any page. So, you know, this wouldn't just be limited to that like, I don't know, like feature page that you're describing. I mean, this could go on anybody who wants to enable podcasting 2.0 value tags.
I love that. I really do. I think it's for some reason, because they do key send, I got really excited by it. And I was like, oh, okay, this would be an excellent way to just expose more people to what we're doing. So I want to welcome the Albi guys to, you know, to the group.
DH Deutschland, here is the Hoff.
There you go.
Sure they know. They really are here.
Yes. Just make sure they know we love them. Yeah, exactly.
So you said Albi does Lightning, but
Yeah, just key send.
I mean, key send. I'm sorry, but
yeah, send, not receive. Send.
Send. Okay, send. Yeah. So we're, because that was what I was about to say. So I went down the rabbit hole of working with Roy.
I know. Good, because I started with Roy about this, and then and he was explaining to me. And he said, "Well, it can be done," and I'm like, "Man, you should talk to Dave." So you guys connected on this.
Yeah, it's funny because I didn't even know that you were talking to him, and I was doing this in sort of independently.
Oh,
and
Dave, Dave, baby, we've been married for so long. You know that we think the same. You know that by now.
Like, you know how those old couples have been married for like 40 years and start to look alike?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
there's that.
I'm going to start getting killer hair really quick.
Okay.
But I was talking to you, you know, I mentioned it to you and then started, and then I went and posted an issue about this, because the Lightning address stuff is great, like LNURL, the Lightning address part of LNURL, or what's layered on top of it, is great. But it doesn't let you, in the background, what it does is let's go to a Lightning address real quick. Lightning address is basically, it looks like an email address. So you could have like dave@podcasterwallet.com. And then what you do is you take, and we talked about this with Oscar last week, you take that thing that looks like an email address and flip it around and then go to pod, that becomes a URL.
Right, right, right.
HTTPS, you know, /podcasterwallet.com/.well-known/, and then it's like a LNURLP.
Yeah, that's the tricky part. LNURLP for LNURL pay.
Yeah.
That's the part that would need to get key sent.
And so,
and it's not quite as simple hooking up to your own node.
Yeah, because when you go through that thing, what's happening on the back end is LNURL is generating an invoice and giving it back on that URL. So what's needed is a way for there to be, is it for those well-known URLs to be resolved and then give you back a static, very much like a value block, just give you back a set of static payment information. And so we're working through that on the Telegram group, Roy and the guys in there. I've just met these guys, so I'm not super familiar with what all roles they play, but what it's looking like is there's going to be, instead of just my original proposal, which was taking and adding the static payment information as part of the object returned for the LNURLP, now what's going to happen is there'll be an alternative .well-known URL scheme. So you'll have that dave@podcasterwallet.com will become podcasterwallet.com/.well-known/ Keysend slash Dave.
Yes, exactly. That's what you want.
That will hand back the static, just a note, a name, a node address, and potentially custom key, custom value, so that you can do routing to a custodial wallet. So that once we get that nailed down and in place,
yeah,
this gets a lot easier.
Now listen to this next bit: how this shit all fits together.
All right.
So I get the update notification from Umbral. Like, and I'm always excited about that. Like, let's see what they did. First of all, I want to see if they've updated the helipad, which appears they have. And then there's always new apps. Well timed.
Perfect. Perfect.
And what shows up? IPFS podcasting. Decentralized podcast distribution over IPFS. And yeah, so we're so close to putting all these pieces together. So it appears the way they do it is you create a separate feed initially to load everything into the IPFS network, and then you can use a gateway for your regular RSS feed. It sounds a little convoluted, but the way I see what I looked at their FAQ, and there's no contact information. I wish there was, because I wanted to get in touch with them. We'll find them. I think this is the alternate enclosure use case.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this makes so much sense, and it's right in the Umbral. Now you're getting to something pretty interesting. You're starting to put a nice little box together.
Yep.
You know, and
what I see is a humongous, like, truck size basket of scissors is what this is. I mean, this is more scissors than you would find at a Hobby Lobby is what. I mean, we can't even get live items off the ground.
Oh,
I mean,
my
can you
goodness.
Imagine trying to troubleshoot caching on IPFS? I've been down the IPFS road. It hurts. It can hurt bad.
I think I'm going to sharpen up a pair, and I'm going to take a walk down that road just to see how it feels. I can't help myself.
Mitch, do you know or want or love or hate IPFS?
I don't know much about it other than conceptually that it's it's uncensorable distributed content.
It's like a DHT for files, a humongous like global DHT for files, and then
I couldn't tell you what DHT means.
Like a distributed hash table.
Space. Yeah.
Yeah.
I approach things from more of a user experience, and then I like cobble together some code.
Afterwards. All right. So this is good. So let me tell you the user experience. I have an Umbral, and I'm actually thinking Helipad does this. Helipad pops up a different home screen maybe the first time and says, you can podcast all right from this box, and has a link to Sovereign Feed, and then you record your shit, and then you go to your browser with Sovereign Feeds, and then somehow it automatically uploads the MP3 file you just recorded from the computer you're on. It puts it on your Umbral, puts it on IPFS, does a live pod ping, whatever, does all these different things, gets you all set up on the value block. Your feed is immediately entirely 2.0 enabled. And there you have it, podcasting in a box with money.
Washes your hair, puts some patchouli on your feet.
I'm just telling you, this is an avenue, and it's no different from Cast the Pod, just a different version, different pieces. Actually, all of this might fit in perfectly. I don't know. I agree with you about the IPFS stuff. We've had nothing but heartache, but this, it's working for somebody somehow, and it feels like I get the newsletter. I'm always reading it. And for the IPFS diehards, I think it works just as well as Lightning does for us.
Yeah, that's actually a really good analogy. That's actually a pretty good analogy. Because, if you get the IPFS newsletter, the world's great.
Yeah. Of course.
Things are humming. Yeah, I mean, people are landing on the moon. It's awesome.
Well, it's not that different if you look at the Lightning Labs PR releases. You know, it's
Yeah, you just ignore all the failed payments and just keep moving on.
We're gonna have a beautiful world. We're gonna be transporting stablecoin. Oh, would that be backed by Luna by any chance? Because that's worth nothing now.
Yeah, can you please explain to me what happened? I know you understand it more than I do. Because there's some stablecoin that went from like a buck a piece down to zero. What happened this week?
Okay. Roy and I even talked about this, and Roy's like, I don't know. Okay, thanks, Roy.
Well, it makes me feel better because I don't know either.
So stablecoins, the idea is they're pegged to a fiat currency, which means instead of selling your, as an example, if you wanted to buy, you've got Bitcoin, you want to buy some Ether. Now you can do a direct trade, but maybe you just want to keep it in dollars for a bit because the market, if you're a trader, this is all about trading stuff. If the market's volatile, or there are other scenarios for stablecoins, then you can exchange it for a stable coin, which will be just like a dollar, only there's no capital gains hit. There's all kinds of reasons to kind of keep it in this digital realm. And the idea is the stable coin is about $1. It might be 99.9999 for a minute. Some actually will go 1.00001. And this is done in many ways. But the most important thing is it has to be backed by something in case people want to cash out the stablecoin into dollars. So typically that's done by huge hedge fund type deals. They've got billions of dollars this was the problem with the Tether. You know, some may be backed by some securities and not just pure cash. And then there's ways that they can manage the supply of the stablecoin to keep that peg in place. So they're doing it by expanding or contracting the supply, as far as I understand.
And who is they? Is that the company that backs this thing?
The company that owns the stable coin. Okay. So in UST, Terra USD, the stable coin, it was backed by Luna, which was another altcoin. I won't use the S word. And something happened because the Luna, as far as I understand, there was backing of the Luna by Bitcoin. So when Bitcoin started to go down, they couldn't really liquidate fast enough or enough to have enough cash to prop up the Luna coin. And on top of that, the Terra, the way they manage their supply, so basically minting new tokens or burning them, destroying them, was algorithmically done.
Oh, God.
So they had an algo that was supposed to keep this going, and something happened, and we'll find out eventually. In general, though, this has far-reaching consequences. It's not really a laughing matter, and stablecoin by itself, in my opinion, needs to be regulated or outlawed because it's really inflationary to the US dollar. I mean, it's okay with me from a Bitcoin perspective. Go ahead, create more. Eventually, we'll see what happens in the end. I have my beliefs, but I don't think that's really a good thing for the US dollar. Did that explain anything?
Yeah, no, yeah. That explained it perfectly. Okay. Janet Yellen agree.
And I could be,
it was a coordinated attack too. Like,
also possible. Really? Yeah, that's also possible.
That somebody may have accumulated all of this and then deliberately dumped it on the market, and that then the peg held its value with other assets couldn't hold anymore, and then just became cascading failure down to, I think, 0.0003 cents right now.
Yeah, and we're going to see more of these horrible things happen across the board. I mean, I'm a believer. I hear the World Economic Forum. They say the Great Reset. I believe them because there's been too much that's happening that makes sense in that regard. And, when Apple lost 20% this week, okay, that was the last company that really was holding on to something. So we're going into some form of negative economic spiral, or perhaps a recession. Who knows? And it's all just terms. But the cheap money is gone. And that's what happens when the Federal Reserve raises interest rates. So that's what slows down house prices because, I got a mortgage at just under 3%. Now you can't get one under 5%.
That happened quick.
That happened very, very. The 10-year interest rate doubled in just 4 months. I mean, so there's a lot going on. But what that mainly means is that no more cheap money. No more cheap money means, well, where do you see it happen first? Netflix. Why? Yeah. Because they could just get all the cheap money because shit was just growing. And then when the economy slows down a little bit, people start to make choices, particularly when the market's saturated. Well, you know, Netflix hasn't really done all that much for me. I like Marvel Cinematic Universe, so I get my Disney Plus, and maybe I'll have Hulu. I don't think that people will easily go back to the interruptive advertising model, which is, in fact, Netflix's strategy to get out of this, because people have been spoiled. So not only is it money that's cheap like that, but money that's cheap for companies for marketing. That's the first place your money always gets cut. The budgets are always cut in marketing.
Advertising.
Yeah. Advertising, everything. And I know a lot of people in advertising and marketing. They're firing entire teams because the clients are cutting back budgets. And then now you see the spiral. Now you got people out of work and you know, all these things start to happen. So when I also hear about some magical number of podcast advertising being at $1.4 billion over 2021.
That is such BS. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a couple things. One, where's the money going? Who's getting this? I mean, iHeartRadio, $65 million. Okay, that's not even near a portion of the big money. And I think most of this is just, I'd have to really delve into the numbers, but I don't believe that there's $1.4 billion roaming around podcasting and that 85% of that is programmatic ad insertions. I just have a hard time believing it. But regardless, it's a trailing indicator. It's a trailing indicator of a different year. And I don't think you're going to see good news coming out of podcast. It's going to be the first place they'll cut.
I would like to...
Any companies looking at... Oh, sorry.
No, hit it, Mitch.
I was going to say, any large companies trying to get into podcasting, seeing it as a potential cash cow, are just in for disappointment.
Well, that's another thing. No one's making any profit. Spotify is not making profit. iHeartRadio not making profit. No one's profiting.
Right. And what podcasting is good for is if you as an individual or a small group want to reach your audience directly, as directly as possible, and then you build a relationship with them, and then they, out of their own choice, basically decide to support you, either through getting your premium content, maybe able to get advertisers involved. But the idea of a giant corporation being able to make revenue to their satisfaction, you know, as publicly traded companies with billions of dollars, I don't see it happening. Facebook scrapped their plans after a year.
Those guys know that they can't make money with it. You can't monetize the network. They figured it out real quick. They're like, oh, this is not going to work for us. And it's going to be a pain in the ass because everyone's going after podcasters because, you know, they're the disinformation, the MAGA disinformation giants.
Well, this fits. I would like to have the board's attention for a moment.
Okay, hold on a second. Dave Jodes, Pod Sage has the talking stick.
Point of personal privilege. I would like to speak momentarily about brand safety.
Brand safety is on the table, so seconded and moved.
Okay. The thing that Tom Webster was interviewed on Podland yesterday, and I
heard
as
it.
As a general rule, I don't usually play Podland clips, but I brought some today. And Tom Webster, he seems like a nice dude. I've never met him, but so none of this is a criticism of him. I mean, he seems like a fine guy. He's advertising research guy.
He's a radio guy. He's an old time radio guy.
Yeah. You can go into. He's talking in this first clip about hearing Todd Cochran's show for the first time, and that's what attracted him initially.
Now, do you want to explain who he is?
He just came. He was from Edison Research. And led a lot of their research efforts on radio and podcasting, and I think other types of media too. But sure. I know those two for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just left and went over to join Brian Barletta with Sounds Profitable.
Now, is Sounds Profitable? Is Cridland also a partner in that?
I don't really understand the relationship. James will have to explain that. But I mean, I thought they were all part of the same.
That's what deal. I thought, too. I tried to look the other day. I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, it's I think it all comes from the same newsletter generator because they all have the same format.
Right.
But I think Sounds Profitable started as an imprint of Pod News.
Right.
Yeah. But I could have that all wrong.
Okay.
But anyway, he's talking about Todd Cochran's show, Geek News Central, being way back, being the first show that he heard.
Mm-hmm.
And what attracted him to it in this first clip?
Yeah, it's Geek News Central podcast Hall of Famer Todd Cochran. I'm pretty sure that was the first podcast that I discovered, and it was really early days. It was probably the very end of 2004. And Todd was just getting started, but he was talking about things that you weren't going to hear on broadcast radio. And at that time, a lot of my portfolio was broadcast radio. And
yeah, and so what he's saying interested him and got him sort of hooked into podcasting was this idea that what he heard, he's like, I'm hearing stuff on podcasts that you can't hear in mainstream media. That was the thing that brought him in. And that's the thing that brings a lot of people in, because you feel like you're getting a chance to hear people as they really are, or maybe views about things that you didn't get that are more sanitized and curated on mainstream media. For a lot of people, that's a big draw, and evidently it was for him too. And that leads them to this discussion of advertising, and that prediction this week that was like, by 2024, advertising will be
$4 billion.
Yeah. Yeah. And so what's funny about this is he totally walks away from that. He's like, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. He's not going near that prediction. Instead, he starts talking about the barriers to money flowing into podcasting in clip two.
Talking of advertising, we're getting to see the IAB advertising, the 6th annual report, saying that the next couple of years, certainly by 2024, we're going to see a 4-fold increase in the revenues from podcasting. Is that something that you were seeing at Edison as well? Is that growth in brands coming to podcasting?
It's still got a ways to catch up. And I'm not a big forecaster. My career has been based on describing the present day as accurate as I can. So I don't know that it's going to increase fourfold. I know that won't happen by itself. And that's something that Brian and I are going to be very focused on at Sounds Profitable, is to remove as many obstacles as we can to those dollars getting into podcasting. Because right now, if you look at the dollars flowing into podcasting versus the dollars flowing into broadcast radio, and you compare the listening to the two, podcasting is still punching way below its weight. I saw iHeart's revenues were announced this week, and podcasting was, I think, 8% of their overall revenue. Maybe that should be higher, right? I don't think revenues are going up in radio. So I think it will get there. I don't know the timeline that it will get there, but it will get there when some of the obstacles to monetizing all of podcasting, I think, are removed and the way is smoothed.
Yeah, I see a lot of money going into brand podcasting. I wonder if that's getting counted. I see like lots of money going to sports podcasting. Is that a fair representation of quote-unquote advertising money going into podcasting, or is an extension of a brand that, as I think you're pointing out, is really not what a lot of people like about podcasting, because it's an extension of an existing entertainment product in the traditional system? Does that make sense, Dave? Muted, Dave?
Oh, I'm back. Crap, I muted myself. I pulled a Mitch.
Yeah.
I tested my mute button and during the show. Mitch.
That was a good show.
It just so you guys know, I mean, the noise gate keeps out a lot. And we heard your dog barking, Dave. It's okay. It's cute.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I agree. I mean, you're talking about like ESPN launches 10 podcasts.
Well, even the NBA has their own podcast series, I believe.
Yeah, that. And so then you're selling to advertisers. You say, oh, you're gonna buy our TV, you also have to buy podcasts.
That's how Spotify does it with their deals. Well, you know, you have to buy Joe Rogan if you want to even buy anything on our network.
But you know, the thing that I started thinking about, and I actually turned the interview off, started thinking about, because he talks about lowering the obstacles to money flowing into podcasting. And
so money just flowed into podcasting. Did you hear?
I heard it. and that got me thinking. I turned it off and thought about that for a minute, because that was an interesting description. And you know, I think that we have this. I think there's a milieu. You know, your favorite word.
There's a milieu.
That these ideas that permeate our frame of reference, or that aren't really, they're rarely spoken, or sometimes not spoken at all. But I hate to say taken for granted, because that's not really a great phrase, but there are things at work that we take for granted and become comfortable with as a part of the idea set within the thing that we're involved in, and podcasting is no different. You know, it's similar to something like freedom, something like free speech. Mm-hmm. People within the quote unquote free speech community, or something like that.
The free speech zone.
Space.
Absolutists.
Absolute. Yes. Yes.
There it is.
And people who care about that, I would count myself as one of them. You know, we assume things like, one thing you might assume is that everyone who is giving their ideas publicly believes they're true. that might be a thing that you,
sure,
that it's unspoken, and we all just sort of take it for granted. And so then our frame of reference then becomes influenced by that, where we think, okay, because we think that people are just honestly trying to speak the thing that they think is true, outlawing that thing is unconscionable, because you're criminalizing, even though they may be wrong, you're criminalizing being wrong. I mean, mm-hmm. like, these things begin to, they permeate your group, or your milieu, but they're not spoken out loud. And I think that's something similar is going on here. It's sort of like what goes in and on in a newsroom, where you just sort of pick up over time this, okay, you don't report on this sort of thing, or you do report on this sort of thing, or when you do report on this thing, you say these phrases.
Or anything that goes wrong in the United States is Trump's fault.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
the previous administration.
And you say it out loud, you know, and because everybody else is doing it that way. And so I think something similar is going on here.
Yes, I think that's rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Yeah, and what is the unspoken thing is brand safety.
Yes.
And the brand safety is the obstacle that I think that he's talking about, and I'm not sure that he even is aware that he's talking about that thing.
Well, okay, so thank you for bringing this up. All that money that is being spent on podcasting is going into, in many cases, is going in, and this will also start to dry up with the cheap free money being, cheap to free money being gone now. There are some podcasts that cost $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 to make.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you get that back is by assuming, I'll use the ass word in this case, assuming that there's going to be advertising for that. And that may be for a few shows, but I don't care what the Obama said. I believe Spotify cut them loose because they had no way to monetize them. People just truly were not interested in listening to what they had to say or those particular productions. I've never seen, well, in the very beginning, oh, it's number one, Michelle Obama's podcast. But then it was like, oh, now every app can use it because, you know, it's an important message. No, it's because you needed reach for your advertisers, which was Tide and Downy or whatever. Sorry, Mitch. Hey, are you related?
No relation.
Are you related?
We don't have any advertisements. That's not us.
pod versus pods.
So there's this very typical Hollywood type vibe of, and I put Cridland and the Podland and the Barlett, I put them all in that kind of that category, because what they report on all day long is, big names, reasonably big names, big media companies creating new podcasts, all kinds of great different genres and all kinds of things that are not cheap, because these people are getting, at least the hosts are getting paid. There's lots of money that's gone into this. And what we see is no one is profiting from it yet. Mm-hmm. So they're in this flywheel of, look, I got a job, hey, and now I don't know anyone's situation personally, but I just question if you can keep creating big, and anything over $5 is big to me. You know what I mean?
That's why I bring it up is because I feel like, I think that that is the milieu that permeates through a lot of the podcasting press. And so they talk about these things with perhaps not even realizing what's really going on under the surface of the language.
And that's the only stuff that will get any advertising is the completely brand safe, scripted, upfront presented. Everybody know, these are very serious people. There's never going to be an F-bomb or something controversial. And of course, that still happens. See any show from Gimlet.
Yeah, right.
So it's unavoidable, and advertisers shy away from that. You're so right.
And here's the kicker. Let me bring it home. So clip three, Sam asks him a question. He talked about the removing the barriers in his previous statement. And so Sam just says, what are the barriers?
Yeah, I think there's tremendous opportunity for programmatic advertising in podcasting. And right now it's getting a bad rap, and it's getting that for two reasons. Number one, I think a lack of understanding of what it can do, but also I think a lack of execution. Programmatic got a lot better on things like Facebook. Your Facebook ads 7 or 8 years ago were absolutely terrible. And now I don't think a week goes by that I either don't buy or am tempted to buy something I see on Facebook.
He asks him, what are the barriers? And he says, and he starts talking about programmatic ads.
Mm-hmm.
That's an odd jump to make from what are the barriers to.
It's a political answer. It's how a politician answers stuff.
Here's the mental jump. Let me map it out for you. Here's the mental jump. Advertising means increased ad spending. This is how you remove barriers. You increase ad spending to bring more money into podcasting. That requires volume because there's not enough big shows to do it on their own.
Yeah.
That means selling to more small shows. The only way to do that is with programmatic. And that inherently means brand safety concerns because you're buying in volume across many, many, many small shows.
Right.
And that's the barrier. That mental progression right there, that is the barrier to ad dollars coming into podcasting in the way that they talk about it. That because we're at the point now where there's not enough big shows to bring in the big money, so you have to go volume, and that inherently means brand danger.
Yes,
and I think that's what led. That is also behind, and again, maybe not consciously, what's going on with like Acast announcing their conversational targeting and that kind of thing. I think this is all about identifying, trying to make programmatic better, because that's how you target. That's how you target the small thousands of small shows at once and try to do it in a way that doesn't kill your brand. Putting it next to bad stuff or whatever.
I just don't see them being sincere. Not these guys specifically, but the if there's an industry, which I don't believe, I think there's just apps, no industry, no podcast industry, it's apps. If they're sincere about it, then why is it still, the transcripts are the perfect way to get your context and maybe catch some words I've been told AI is magic, so that should be able to be used, but there's no real push towards the implementation of transcripts either. I'm not even sure that, that wasn't Amazon going to do that in the background and then use that? I don't think anyone's doing it.
Well, the idea that we or that gets talked about is this idea of putting things into a transcript so that you can search for keywords to sell against. But and that may be true to a certain extent, but I think it's equally, if not more, about identifying keywords to avoid.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
If I could weigh in here, I like to say that podcasts are shows you can listen to in any app. That this is what differentiates podcasting from legacy media, which is that legacy media had to go through centralized channels that had the authority to release it or not release it or censor it. And these large brands prefer that safety because they have somebody they can reach and make sure is filtering the content that goes out. So that's why these brands go to that. But podcasting is kind of the opposite of that. It's RSS based. It's open in nature. And so, yeah, they're not going to get what they're looking for from podcasting. What they want are exclusives, which really aren't different from legacy media. They want exclusive content that is with one brand that they can talk to, one company, and they can negotiate or say, hey, you have to cut this content. But that's not what podcasting is. So, you know, I know they say we have podcasts like on Spotify, but in the traditional sense of the word, they don't, or at least their exclusive content is not truly a podcast. I mean, it's no different, in my opinion, than a Netflix series. If you have exclusive show on Netflix, why not just call that a podcast too?
Here's the beautiful thing, because history has shown, and my favorite example is always AOL, that you give people a beautifully walled garden and it's all nice and it's safe and it's brand safe and it's good. And, you know, the PG-13 stuff is labeled, but you give people a little opening and say, but by the way, you know, there's this internet over here. We'll give you a browser, but you have to click on all these dialogues and say, I'm okay, because I might see porn or I might see a bad word or it might not work properly. And within a year, everyone was just sucked right out of that portal and AOL became a dial-up company. It's going to be that people want the danger. We love it. We love the danger. Oh, my God, I can't believe what this person. Twitter is a game of who can say the most outrageous shit about someone else, preferably, until they get deplatformed. What can you do on you? And it's a game between the creator and the audience at this point. Oh, I can't believe you did that. Oh, you're going to get a strike. You know, it's sad to watch. And what's interesting is I realized in this past week, and I believe advertising always equals censorship, even if it's just not being able to talk about a competing brand, but you put filters in so you don't piss off your advertisers. I've done it all my life. I understand it. Two people I've worked with and I like were deplatformed and for different reasons. But the bottom line is, if you have something of value that you don't control, they, the masses, can and probably will take it from you. Because there's always someone who doesn't like you. There's always someone who disagrees and has a different way of solving things. And whether it's a YouTube channel, whether it's an advertiser, whether it's a board seat on the Podcast Academy, if it's something that can be taken away, eventually it most likely will be. What they can't take away is your RSS feed. I mean, yeah, technically you can get down to the server level, but that's unlikely. And even then, you know, we'll deal with IPFS. But they can't take away or modify or change your feed, your MP3, and now with podcasting 2.0, your potential to survive.
Yeah, financially. Yeah.
Financially. I love what we're doing.
Yeah, and it gives an out, because it's necessary, and that's kind of where this ends up, is that it's necessary to have this. Even podcasting 2.0 has never been advertising hostile, in the sense that advertising has to fail in order for podcasting 2.0 or value for value to succeed. That's never been the case. But brand safety is not inherently a bad thing. It, like if I have, If I have some product in the future and I want to buy some advertising for it, there's going to be content that I don't want it to be seen against. That's me.
Yeah.
I don't want that. But the more important question is, does brand safety lead to healthy outcomes or truthy outcomes for content in society? Yeah.
Truthy.
Because I would argue that the answer to that is no, because that's not its job. Mm-mm. Brand safety's job is to
protect the brand,
provide safety for the brand. Yeah. Yes. And that's inherently doesn't have anything to do with whether the content is true. So that's, you have to have these all, podcasting 2.0 has to exist for this very reason that brand, you're going to have brand safety. And sometimes brand safety is good, but it's good for the brand. Mm-hmm. It's not good for the subject matter in and of itself in an objective sense.
I completely agree. And I see what's going on, and I see deplatforming is so fucking evil. It's so lame, you know. And the only way to protect yourself is just have nothing of value. The only thing that is of value that I don't control is my Twitter handle. That still has some value to me, but everything else, no, there's nothing. And see the shit I say, then there's no deplatforming. What are you going to take? What are you going to do?
Yeah, I think it's in the long run. I think there's two industries pretending to be one industry.
Yes,
there's open podcasting, open RSS podcasting, and then there's advertising based podcasting. And some, if you have a Venn diagram of both, there's a little bit of overlap in the middle where all the big shows exist that are non-exclusive, and otherwise they're really not. There's really not a whole lot of overlap, and you can tell which, you know, by who you're listening to, you can see which part of the, which industry they're from. Are they from open RSS? Are they from advertising? You can just hear it in the way that people speak, and it's not a slam on anybody. It's just the way it is. It's the way the industry has turned in that direction.
And podcasting takes a long time for things to catch on and for things to grow. And there's unexpected moments like the Serial podcast, unexpected moments that give it a super boost. And we will see that. But our secret weapon is, you know, Spotify can't buy all the hosting companies. You know?
And the secret weapon is also like Podverse.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly. Yeah. We have all these different apps, and new ideas, fresh ideas, things that may have a very small user base, but it doesn't matter. Everybody can survive, and the whole ecosystem benefits. No one benefits from a spot from the Michelle Obama podcast. Mitch Downey had no way to benefit from that. nor did Stephen B. You know, or Roy. No one had a way to benefit. Now, Roy doesn't put those non-value podcasts in his app, but you understand what I'm saying. There's no benefit there. So you're just fucking the system. That was the whole problem to start with. That's why we had no apps.
Well, we do it for the love of podcasting.
Oh, itself. Please. Oh, shut up, Mitch, you liar. You do it for all the money. I know. You're doing it for the money. I know what's going on.
For the mountains of cash. For the mountains
of dough. You're just swimming in like Scrooge McDuck there, diving into your cash pile.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing for 8 years.
I hear you, brother. I'm a podcaster. I hear you.
We're able to move so quickly and do things that were not possible or that the big brands wouldn't even pursue, like value payments. Or the live tag.
Or Podping. Look at how revolutionary Podping is. It'll take a bit, but it eventually polling will be so boomer.
Yeah.
It should be. We need to get everybody on Podping as soon as possible. It is such a game changer.
Can I ask you about that, Mitch? I want to ask you about you're syncing with the index. I want to ask because, well, a couple of things. How are you doing that currently? Because I'm noticing some old feeds that that are dead now that are still showing up? That would be number one question.
Well, can I ask a question first of all? Mitch, why is Mitch syncing with the database and not using the API?
We're syncing with the API.
It is you're syncing with the API. Okay, but you're syncing, yeah. So you use your own copy of the database for the app accesses?
Yes, before Podcasting 2.0 existed, we had our own database and parser set up, and we had about 50,000 podcasts in our database. And we couldn't scale up to do much more than that because of all of the problems associated with pulling RSS feeds. And then once, you guys made the podcast index, Dave exposed some endpoints for us. We now pull the API on a schedule, like every 15 minutes or something. And we pull in all of the feeds that your system has detected an update in. Mm-hmm. And that signals to our system to run our parsers over it. So we started with 50,000. Now we have over 5 million. And that would be impossible for us on our budget. We don't have a budget to be able to accomplish without you guys doing the heavy lifting of detecting updates and also listening to updates with PodPing and PubSub and whatever other approaches you're using.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in light of that, how are you detecting which feeds that we mark dead? Because I'm not sure that's syncing correctly.
It's not flawless. It's creaky because I wrote it.
No, stop. You're good.
Well, it is running on a schedule. If there were downtime, we could miss updates. There's other potential bugs, like maybe the list was too long at a moment and we didn't paginate through the whole thing. It's something I need to revisit. Right now, as people report that there's issues, we manually correct it. But we do have automated, I think it listened to the dead podcast or dead feeds endpoint. I just fixed a bug recently where there's tricky issues, like you had two feeds that were for the same podcast in podcast index. And then at a later point, you changed the RSS URL that was for the new version of that podcast back to the old ID.
Sweet.
And wait, was that the Jensen feed? Was that what that was, Dave?
Might have been. Maybe. Yeah. There's so many shenanigans in RSS world.
It was Mike Hotboxing with Mike Tyson, actually. That's the one I remember.
Oh. That I didn't do that one manually. That must be the new automated redirect changer. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I found I think I have a fix for that. I like do a lookup to help match it. But so it's not a perfect syncing operation. It does seem to work like 99.9% of the time.
Hey, if you're hitting the high 90s in RSS world, you're doing pretty good. I mean, that's fine usually. What can I do to help? Because I want, do I just need, because, I started producing a dead feeds list. I don't know if you've seen that. It's just in object storage. And so you can just download it. It just literally lists out every dead feed in the entire index as one humongous file. You can download that and just blow through it and just mark everything dead.
Yeah, that could be useful.
Okay.
Is there a different state though, where it's like a dead feed, but it gets like switched to another feed or switched to another ID.
So there's the dead flag and then there's a duplicate of. And so if it's got a dupe, that's what I'll send you the URL for that object storage file, because it lists out every dead feed ID. And then if that dead feed ID was replaced or should be, is a duplicate of a different feed, it'll point you to the ID of that feed.
Okay. Something like that would help. To be honest, I haven't put as much time into the syncing because it just seems to work well enough for now. Mm-hmm. But I think what I need to do is like map it out, our whole infrastructure and all of our syncing operations and how they work, and just like put all the pieces on the table and see how we can improve it.
Because it always comes up, because when I use Podverse, to search for Podcasting 2.0, I always see the Podcasting 2.0 sandbox feed there listed. And that one's been dead for like months. So I always need to ping you for it.
If that was before we added the dead feeds endpoint, because we are deleting feeds, we're listening to an endpoint in Podcast Index. But that happened later, so there could be like a whole era of feeds that has not been addressed. But what you're saying with if you just have a dump of the whole dead feeds list, that we could, you know, have a job, make it run for a day or something and go through the whole thing.
Yeah, that might be. Yeah, I'll send you the URL. It may be useful for you to, you may find that you've got like so many that could be killed and just then take some load off.
You know what's really hot? Open source. Send your pull request now.
Pull request.
And please, anybody who wants to help with this, we are all open source. And as you can tell, I could use some help. We're at max capacity, but yeah, it's a lot of fun.
That's another thing I wanted to ask you. This is so cracking me up. That's the other thing I wanted to ask you is, as far as, you know, and answer as much of this as you want and as little as you want, but when it comes to, I pay for premium Podverse every month, and are y'all doing okay? I mean, financially, are you able to pay the bills? I mean, how's that going for you?
We're doing okay in the sense that as long as I have a day job, I can afford it. It's not unmanageable. It's actually remarkably cheap for how like supporting 5 million podcasts and having iOS, Android, F-Droid, and web and all the stuff we do. But we're not making a profit yet. And hopefully we'll get there. We're not profit motivated. That's not central. Like I just have this assumption that we keep getting better and, you know, just keep improving and eventually we'll turn a corner with that. But you know, I'm not the world's best marketer either. I prefer sitting in front of
the computer. Oh, you're talking to two genius marketers, so
you're in the right place, my friend.
Lest I forget, Mitch, would you please email me right now a wallet credential so that I can put you in the split for today's show? This is something we need to ask up front, Dave. We need a guest sheet.
An intake form.
An intake form. There you go.
There's trouble with that. My Umbral node does not have channels set up right now.
Do you have any wallet somewhere?
I do. Oh, we do have a standard Bitcoin wallet.
No, that won't work.
I can. We can give you a LNP wallet.
Oh, you know what I can do? Shit! Like, can I just set it up? Give him a sovereign fees wallet.
Oh yes, brand new. You can test that out too. While we're running with scissors, let's break out some more scissors.
That's cool. Go to sovereignfeeds.com, Mitch, and then it'll ask you for an email address. It'll send you a token when you click on wallet, that is, I think. And then it'll give you a wallet and the details. Send those to me, and you even get stats.
All right, cool. I'll do that during the donations segment.
Yeah, Sovereign Feeds, I don't know if you've seen it, Dave. The wallet's pretty cool. I mean, it's got Boost and Stream History and Boostagram separately listed.
I haven't had a chance to look at it. Can you describe like what it's like when you, I mean, where does it exist in Sovereign Feeds?
So if you go to, have you been to Sovereign Feeds lately?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I was there a couple of days ago.
And is there, do you
I see think the, it was right before he did this.
Oh, okay. So there should be, I think, when you hit it before you even get in, it asks you to give your email address so it can set up a wallet. If not, click the sign in button on the right, I think.
Okay, so because the way I usually get there is I go to CurioCaster and then I choose.
No. Sovereignfeeds.com.
Oh, it's its own thing.
Oh, Sovereign Feeds is a whole environment. It's an operating system.
See, I thought Sovereign Feeds was settings, turn on RSS editor.
No, that's CurioCaster. Go to sovereignfeeds.com.
Man, I feel like I'm just...
Yeah, this is very disappointing, actually. Yeah. While you're doing that, Mitch, I'd like to ask you a question. And I also listened to the Tom Webster Podline interview. And within that interview, there was another, you know, the discovery thing always comes up. This is another milieu thing. Like, well, once we get discovery, you know, once we have discovery better done, and it appears to me that Podverse, but also Fountain FM, have invested heavily, as in resources, in clips. Is that, for me, the thinking behind that has always been that is a discovery mechanism? Is that how you view it?
Absolutely. I think of that whenever people talk about discovery. People are looking for like a magic AI solution that's going to just like push their podcast in front of people, and that's going to draw people in, and that's going to be the key to their success. But I think the real key is you need a really high quality podcast, and you need people to spread the word for you. There's just such an oversaturation. I mean, it's good that there are so many podcasts, but like, people don't really listen to podcasts unless somebody tells them, or they hear from one podcast that recommends another one. So clip sharing is, I think, the most useful way for getting introduced to a podcast and potentially getting interested in it. Mm-hmm, so that was actually what Podverse started as.
It was supposed to be
a simple podcast clip sharing platform, which is now turned into a cross-platform podcast app that does just about everything.
It does, like, yeah.
20 features.
Yep.
But that is the core experience that, you know, I got into podcasting like 2009. I really liked it. I liked it as an alternative to mainstream television media. And, the thing that I wrestled with though, I couldn't share that with other people, that like people could talk about, Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or some shows that everybody watches, but you know, podcasting was like really like specific to you as an individual and what you listen to. So I wanted an easy way to share clips, to introduce, you know, to maybe I hear something funny or enlightening, and I wanted to share it with people. So yeah, I think that gets under, that's just not discussed enough when people talk about discoverability. I feel like you want to create viral content, and that's a short clip that people can share everywhere.
So to me, no one has really quite cracked that nut yet. And I'm not sure what it is. I love sending myself clips for, you know, which is really no more than a time code for me. That's a CurioCaster does that. I'm perfectly fine with that. I think we're just missing opportunities. Like Overcast, I get a lot of Overcast shares. When it comes in, the emails, it's so, there's so much opportunity there to get me. Now, I don't have iOS, but for all of the apps to get me to have a different experience than what I'm seeing. And not that I can explain it, but, have you looked at, cause everyone does it a little bit differently. What do you think is the perfect model? And I agree with you. And that may be part of the milieu of the industry is, well, you know, once we have discovery, but we're never going to have YouTube like discovery. It's just not the nature of the beast. But there's sharing on social media, which is one type of sharing, which I think needs a certain type of experience if it's on Twitter or Mastodon or Facebag or anywhere else. And then there's the person to person through email, or, you know, there's different ways you can share. I totally agree with the human part. What are we looking at for how that's sent and how that's stored, how people can go back and find more? I mean, that by itself, and I ask you specifically because you started out that way, do you see the formula? Do you think you've got it yet, or is there something, some magic ingredient still missing?
I do think there's a magic ingredient missing. It already exists, though. It's the podcast soundbite tag. And so the soundbite tag it's a part of the podcasting 2.0 spec, allows you to create clips within your RSS feed. They're just timestamps, so start time, end time, and title. And if a podcaster includes that in their RSS feed, then every podcast app can just parse out that information and do what they want with those clips. Like in Podverse's case, we look for the soundbite tag. If we find it, we generate a clip in our system. So podcasters, if they want to make clips available as far-reaching as possible, they can put the soundbite tag in their RSS feed and it goes to every app. The idea is they can create in a central location instead of, okay, you have to go to Podverse and create a clip here, or Fountain clip, create a clip there. Like if they do that in the RSS, that is a ticket to being able to generate it everywhere.
The soundbite tag doesn't have an external file. It's in the feed itself.
That's correct. I mean, that could potentially change if...
The reason why I ask is because all of this stuff, this is my problem. So if I wanted to generate a soundbite tag, I kind of have to do that work before I publish. Otherwise, you get into republishing feeds and, you know, all kinds of caching and bullcrap that comes along with that. So I would need to have the capability to actually select the clip before I publish, which, you know, time codes and everything. There's really I have no UI for it. I'm basically telling Steve and B what the problem is. But honestly, I'm the lazy ass that says, oh man, can it be either or? Could I have Dreb Scott do more for me is my question, really?
Yes. Yes. Well, that's up to him, but...
hey, I give people sats, baby. I don't mess around. I like, you know, take our money.
Some other people have kicked around this idea on the Mastodon that some way of crowdsourcing clip generation. And if it was an external file, then that might have separate permissions from your RSS feed. So you could just put a URL in your RSS feed that links to your soundbite list. Maybe you could have your own, you know, moderators that could then add clips to that list, and that we read it like normal. It would have to be its own standalone service,
right? Well, I'd love to experiment with the soundbite tag, regardless. So once I have that capability, I'll do it. I'll figure something out. Yeah, because no one's producing them. There's no tools for it, as far as I know.
There is. So Buzzsprout has adopted sound bites from the beginning. There's just one catch, which is that they don't allow setting a title with the clips. And so they think of it more as a preview of an episode. So like you include one preview. I think their UI also generates an audiogram. So the people using the platform, they create a sound bite and then they get an audiogram and they think, oh, I've got a clip. What they don't realize is, well, there's another level that we can go here, which is you put the title in the feed also, and now that clip is generated everywhere.
Right.
So I don't know if they have any plans to support something like that, but I do think that it's just kind of under the radar that this potential with clips is right there. We have the spec already. Maybe we need to add the external file, but... there's definitely room there.
But what I like is this is all about getting more people to listen to the podcast and not have more ad inventory available. Because people are clicking, oh, let me check this out. Plays, ad, nah, don't like it. Next one, plays, ad, don't like it. Because that's just not the way people find podcasts as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to get on people's radar. And also, you know, man, I'm subscribed to like 200 podcasts. I can't keep up with it all.
Yeah, it's just a fire hose, yeah.
And I hope that there'll be a day where there's just there's so many clips being generated in a open standard way that I could get like highlights from the shows I do want to listen to, but I can't keep up with. You know, that would be really cool. Otherwise, I just fall into the same patterns of the like same five podcasts I normally listen to. But there's a lot more that I'm interested in. I just can't keep up with it all.
Do you have any visibility in like any kind of telemetry or metrics or anything that tells you which features of the app get are used and not used and in what quantities?
Not really. I'm bad at prioritizing that sort of thing.
Join the club.
I mean, I find it interesting, it just hasn't happened yet. We do have some tracking in terms of we count page view counts if people opt into tracking, and that we use as part of our sorting algorithm of popularity. It's a extremely flawed system, does not necessarily reflect reality, but it gives us some indication for some podcasts, at least, of what is getting shared the most. But in terms of the feature use, no, I pretty much just based on what people email us about and contact us.
Is that how's the translation, like language translation stuff going? I know you were pushing that hard for a while. Is that you didn't you crowdsource that?
Yeah, translations is going good. I have not given enough time to the community that's helping with that. There's this service called Weblate. I think weblate.org. And somebody reached out to us a while ago, just saying that they, you know, hey, you should set up with this website. And it makes it really easy for people to, you give them like your master list of text. So like we have one JSON file that has all of our text, and that's our English, that's our root file. And then people can just jump in and translate that into any language, and it automatically creates PRs to our repo.
That's cool.
It's really cool. I did not know it existed, and I need to give it more attention because I'm not talking to these people directly very much, and they're doing this great work. But it's a really powerful tool, especially if you have an open source project. I would recommend everybody get set up with it.
So you're just you have a master list of text strings, and you just pull from that list when you compile.
Right. Well, I mean, we have.
Or is that runtime?
We have I18N. We have internationalization set up. It's just a little helper function that checks what the device's language is currently in. And if we have that language code available, like we have French, German, Norwegian, we have like six languages currently. It just flips the definitions for depending on the language that
and you're in. How many strings are there? I mean, like, how big of a translation project is it to like? Let's say Comic Strip Blogger wanted to go and translate it to Polish. I mean, would that take him 2 days or would it take him an hour and a half?
Well, the beautiful thing is you could just do partial incremental. You don't have to go through and do the whole thing. You just go line by line, you know, and translate those lines into whatever language you want. And, you know, you don't have to be the person that does the whole thing. So I think we have like 1,000 strings. It's quite a lot. And actually part of why we have so many is because we added screen reader accessibility about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And that's actually a feature I'd like to highlight more because, you know, we invested a lot of time to make it screen reader accessible. I got an email, last year from somebody saying that they heard about Podverse through Podcasting 2.0, and they were really excited to try it. And then they opened the app and it just did nothing. And it turned out we were not accessible at all. It just was a dead app.
I know you well enough to know that stuff like that just gets in your crawl and you,
yeah,
that drives you crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. It just feels like I'm not doing, the basics of what should be done. But so I hope that the experience is good now. For screen reader accessibility, and I'd love to get more feedback. If you or anybody you know uses a screen reader, I'd love to get feedback. We've got it on the website and the mobile app for accessibility.
The Five Blind Guys podcast, or Three Blind Guys podcast. I'll ping them. I've been on their show. They're fun. Okay. Yeah, they're the real deal.
That'd be great.
So they're podcasters and podcast users.
Perfect.
Shall we thank a few people for our value for value proposition, which I've been explaining to Debit Card Danny, who will be joining the team.
Debit Card Danny.
Danny is an overqualified CPA who was helping us with our tax filings and our books. And he's a no agenda guy, and he's really excited about what we're doing, and he's getting up to speed. And so I was explaining value for value because, you know, he kept saying, well, okay, so your sales, nope, stop.
No sales.
But that's in IRS speak, it comes into, you know, they just say it's easier to say sales. Okay. But anyway, value for value is something I've actually been writing quite a bit yesterday, 2 days ago.
Tina the manifesto?
Tina came home. Like, now what do you do? I said, yeah, I do my emails, you know, show prep, and I've been writing. She's like, writing? What are you writing? I'm the linguist here. What are you writing? You're a podcaster. So I've gotten pretty far, and it's kind of fun to build the story and then also make it, you know, quick so you can get in, understand something, or if you really want to delve deeper into it and learn more of the history, because it really is more than just, you know, it's not just content monetization. It's a programming format, and it's a lifestyle to a degree. And what we're doing here, I would say, is kind of the lifestyle, because this project is completely supported by the people who want to support it, and the value they get out of it, they put into it. That's the beauty of it. So you can determine exactly how much you find this, you think the podcast is worth, but really the whole project, because it funds everything. And you can do that by going to podcastindex.org, scrolling out at the bottom. There's a couple ways you can send your fiat fund coupons. Or if you prefer, you can send on-chain Bitcoin. But we really like people sending boostograms with a modern podcast app. And I just checked, newpodcastapps.com is one way. Nudepodcastapps.com also works, apparently. I don't know who did that, but I appreciate it. So if you keep hearing nudepodcastapps.com, it'll work too. You'll find your favorite podcast apps there. Should I do a couple of these live podcast boosts before we... during the show. Meet us, 3375. Haven't heard a live pew in a few minutes. Here you go. Thanks. That was 19 minutes ago. We could do with another one. A lot of triple threes from Chad Farrow. Appreciate that. Boostbury. Check this out. 111 sats.
Holy crap.
I think that gets a big baller.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Boostagram reads as follows. Buy the dip, boost the drip. A brief observation. using new podcasting 2.0 tags feels like finding new gear for your hero in a role-playing game. You obtained gem of the episode value split plus 33 booster lightning magic.
Loot the room. Loot the room.
Loot the room. I might have to change the title of the show to Loot the Room. Okay. Behind the Schemes will be lit post No Agenda on 6/12/22 with the Pod Save Dave Jones as our guest. Oh, so you're going to feel what it's like to really have it work.
Yeah, that's right. I'll get a front row seat for how this stuff is supposed to run and function.
I am totally changing the title to Loot the Room. That's hilarious. 5,000 sats from Crimson Deer. Thank you very much. We have 5,000 sats from the NA Millennial. Adam, unblock me on Twitter. Really? I wonder why I blocked you on Twitter. I will check that.
You deserved it, no doubt.
Well, I think 5 sats is not really, doesn't really unlock the Twitter achievement, but okay.
No, that's a minimum 20,000 sats.
CBrooklyn 112 came in on the chat room and he says, "Oh, I just snuck in. I'm late for the board meeting." And I said, "Hey, where's your hall pass?" And he sent 2,000 sats with my hall pass. Thank you very much.
There it is.
500 from Spanproof at Feast. Nope, secret ingredient. Oh, I'm sorry. That's for No Agenda. they mixed on my thing here. Harv Hat with 22,222 sats. A massive row of ducks. Thank you very much. C Mike 2222 running with scissors and putting our IFAX individual first aid kits to good use today. Merch idea. Take notes. A podcasting 2.0 first aid kit. All right. Podcast Index Shop, pay attention. It has a backup USB mic, dongles, adapters, and an Ask Me About My Podcast button to put on your shirt. Yes, beautiful. Sounds about right. Chad Farrow got us going about an hour ago with We'll Do It Live and 10,000 sats on the Boostagram. Lavish 6666 pew pew. We got you. Stephen B. Stephen B. with a short row of ducks. Hey, Mitch, congrats on getting lit working. The pod ping is awesome. Come on, Martin, Oscar, Guilherme, and Franco. We're waiting for you guys to get lit. And there's
Thanks,
our
man.
Our buddy Sir Spencer, 33,333 sats, boosting the dip and making lit seem easy. Love you guys. Thanks for pushing that live item goodness. When in doubt, ignore the false cash signals and keep on trucking. P.S. For live item feed management, I highly recommend VS Code for edits and FileZilla to get it up on the server. Go straight to the source. And that is our live boosts with the last one coming in. Oh, sneaking in, trying to get the... Oh, there he is, ladies and gentlemen. Dreb Scott boosting it live. Looking forward to Fun Fact Friday's 100th episode next week. 77,777 sats.
Baller, shot caller, 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
But yeah, there's no money in podcasting.
billions of sats.
Billions of sats.
We also got some PayPal donations. We got $22.22 from Sir Pete. Ooh. And he says, boost freedom.
Yo, hold on a second. That's a combo that I.
Yeah, you were not prepared.
How could I be prepared for that?
Boost
freedom.
There we go.
Oh, I hit you with the left hook and you got up off the mat. 2222 also from Super Nerd Media says, notwithstanding the dulcet tones of Gregory Forsyth Jr., one needs more than AI.cooking alone. Therefore, I cordially invite you to listen to the Barnhard Podcast, a mashup of current events, Catholic news, and conspiracy turned up to 11. Yo!
Yo.
Barnhart is spelled B-A-R-N-H-A-R-D-T for those of you searching.
Boost.
Thank you, Super Nerd Media. We got some boosts, some boostergrams now.
That was all the PayPals?
That was, well, and you know, we got the monthlies we'll do later, but okay. That's all the single donations.
Okay. Yes. By the way, the right now is the time to boost. I mean, boost us Satoshis. When this stuff starts going up again, it's going to be happy times.
Oh, yeah. Was it boost the drip? Buy the dip, boost the drip.
Buy the dip, boost the drip.
Brando Sellers gave us 10,000 sats. Boost! He says, great episode, guys. I really love what you're doing at the Podcast Index and the things Oscar has been doing with Fountain. I can't wait to see what the future brings. And that was boosted through Fountain. Thank you, Brando.
Oh.
1,922 sats from Kyron, our buddy at Mere Mortals Podcast. He says, I think Fyodor Dostoevsky can give Mr. Solzhenitsyn a run for his money in the the unspelled names department. The Russians strike again.
That's true.
The Gulag Archipelago is an amazing book, by the way. Horrifying and emotionally draining, but still fantastic.
That was Kyron? That was Kyron?
Yeah.
Kyron's deep, man.
Shout out to Mere Mortals, who has been a huge promoter of podcasting 2.0, and also the Sleek Podcast, which is what Brando
says. Those guys. Okay. They do tons of video screen grabs. It's fantastic. I love retweeting them on Twitter.
Mitch, I thought you were about to say shout out to Fyodor Dostoevsky.
Let's boost.
By the way, Juan, Kyron's partner in crime, he's up there in, I think, Minneapolis. So that's sort of close to you, Mitch. Close in quotes.
Cool.
Satoshi Stream sent us 5,552 sats through Fountain, and he says, why use CLI when Fountain works so nicely? Smiley face. It's true. But CLI's fun. Everybody wants this command line.
Yes.
Roy Scheinfeld.
Ah.
The Wizard of Tel Aviv. He says he sends 54321, 54,321 sats through Breeze. And he says, quote, I also don't want crypto, I want Bitcoin.
Unquote.
Adam, you rock. That must be an Adam quote.
It is, I guess. I guess. Thank you, Roy.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
The only industry player that supports. Big industry player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Roy's a treasure, man. He really is.
He is a treasure. I can't wait to visit him.
Yeah. Do you have that scheduled, or are you just going to, you're just talking in general?
No. Israel is on our radar. We definitely want to go there. I mean,
you and Tina?
Okay. Yeah. We still love to do Japan, but Japan doesn't want anybody. Stay away. Stay away, you.
Kyle Hebert. You ready? You sitting down? You got...
I'm sitting down. I'm ready. What's up?
Okay. All right. 100,000 sats.
Oh!
Go podcasting!
Baller! Shot caller! 20-inch blaze on the Impala!
Boost!
He says, the Intergalactic Boombox podcast isn't just standing there. It's boosting! And I'm a firm believer in value for value, especially with the immense enjoyment I get from Dave's paper crinkling ASMR. You're welcome.
Yes.
Thank you, Kyle. Yeah, me and Kyle exchanged some emails this week. He's such a good guy. Todd from Northern Virginia. All right. He says, he sent us 11,111 sats.
Boosting
great. Through Breeze. And he says, cheers. Can I get a Dvorak boost?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Boost, boost, boost.
Cass Peeland. Through Fountain, 3,690 sats, and he says, thanks for the work.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome, Cass. Oh, here we go.
How you doing, Chris?
Chris Fisher sent us 3,333 sats through Fountain, and he says, we need a podcaster push for Podcasting 2.0 apps. I initially had a lot of my audience try out the new app, but I suspect many of them have switched back to their old app. Ooh, boost. In part because we're the only podcast in the Linux world preaching the good 2.0 word. We need more advocacy of the full 2.0 feature set and why all of it matters for the competitive future of podcasting from the podcasters themselves. Where they lead, the audience will follow. Well, that's you've been preaching that forever, Adam.
Yes, that's the only way it works. Mm-hmm. And when you do, then it works. I mean, look at this. Look at this podcast. It's working. Now, the real trial is Curry and the Keeper, because, you know, people are like, let me just send you PayPal. Nope. Let me just send you cash. Nope. We will not accept it. But we really want to support you. You got to go through the steps. It's been painful. These are just plain old people who don't really even use a podcast app, typically. And they hear us talking about it, and they're trying so hard. It's beautiful to watch, but man, it's hard. It's hard to get people. So we just keep pushing, and people do it. They get through. Eventually they do. And they're really proud when they do. And I hope that they then also check out other, you know, it was really beautiful. Last night there was, was it on Fox? I actually fall asleep almost every single time during Tucker Carlson. I always want to watch because he takes our material. I want to see what he liked. And it's true. His producers is fine. And, So I fall asleep, but Tina says, oh, did you hear anything about the woman who was talking about Bitcoin? I said, no. So there was I forget her name, Natalie something, and she has a podcast, and she was talking, because, you know.
Brunel?
Is that yes, Natalie Brunel, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so she was talking about Bitcoin being separate from crypto, and Tina said, you would have really liked that. And I said, what was her name? Tina didn't know, so I look it up. There's a podcast. So I use, you know, the few things I have. And oh, and Natalie Brunel, Coin Stories. Pop it up on CurioCaster. Boom. Value for value enabled. Right there.
Oh, nice.
It was, I was like, oh, that's, and of course I send a boostagram. Now, I don't know what she's hooked into, if she gets those messages at all. Uh-huh. That's really when the podcasters, that's the missing part. So it's not just tell people how to do it. What happens, and then Tina and I have seen this on Curry and the Keeper, we're reading boostergrams, and people are like, I want to be read on the boostergram. Well, you got to send a boostergram. So that's the piece. And until the podcaster either is looking at it in, well, now, of course, we have Fountain. We have Sovereign Feeds. You can read that. We have Helipad, obviously. We have Satoshi Streams. Until the podcaster can see that and implement it into the programming, into the podcast itself, you don't get that level of adoption. That's what drives it. That's what makes it work. And that's just my experience. I've been doing it for a long time. Mention the amount. Mention the short message. That's it.
And take it from you, because you're literally writing the book.
I'm literally writing the book. I've been living the life for more than 14 years. No other income. It's sporadic, but really no other income than no agenda. From value for value. I mean, so.
Would you say that that's where it always falls down? When it falls down, it always falls down right there where the podcaster does not read the feedback back into the show.
It's that, then it doesn't work.
Yeah,
it's not just falling down. It never lifts off.
it's just a critical piece that gets, if it's not there, it just doesn't function.
I mean, and if you don't do it, then it just dries up. It stops.
Yeah.
And it really is key that you have that segment in there.
Well, exemplified by Muppet 1856, who sent us 177,600 sats.
Baller.
Oh, no.
Shot caller, 20-inch blade, only Impala.
Go podcasting.
Did you just fall under your
Come on, man. I'm too tight for this market. That was awesome.
you blew that one up, bro. That was through Cast-O-Matic. And what's funny to me about these donations that go that big is you look on, like, I know for a fact that Cast-O-Matic won't let you load up more than 50,000 sats in a go. So he had to load up multiple rounds in order to get high enough to send that one boost. And then you hope that the podcast you're sending to has a channel that's at least big enough to handle
There's
it.
That too. Yeah. So who sent this again? I'm sorry. I completely didn't hear who sent it.
Yeah. That was 12 jingles ago. This is Muppet 1856. He's on the podcast.
The social.
Social. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool, man. Says, thank you.
He says, Sir Jeffrey Zellin supporting you with a Freedom Baller Boost.
He's Freedom Baller Boost. Very, very cool, man.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you.
Boost. Thank you so much.
Woo.
Lyceum sent us 50,000 sats through Fountain. He says, thanks for the shout out. Oh, I will mention your show in the upcoming episode 126 of Ego Netcast. Ooh, I don't know that show.
Ooh, neither do I. Okay. Thank you,
man. Do you have a list of Satoshi special numbers, e.g. 1776 Liberty Boost, commemorating the Founding Fathers, 2222, ducks in a row boost, 420, high five for the hemp boost, as Martin Lindeskog? And yeah, that's on, there's a repo for that.
Yeah, and is the Striper boost in there?
It should be.
Let me see, there's a repo for that?
Yeah.
So
I don't know where it is.
Do you know what it's called?
There's a list.
Do you know what it's called?
I wonder if it's in the Boostbait repo.
Boostagram repo GitHub.
I don't know why you're looking for it. I'll read some boost.
Yeah.
At Sir Doug sent us 4,400 sats, and he says, V for V, keep it up. Thank you, Sir Doug.
Thank you very much, sir. Here it is. I have it here.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I'm going to put this in the show notes. 200. You want to hear these? Wait a minute. Let me see if the seven's... Oh, yeah. So 7777 is not in there. That's a Striper boost because that's religious numbers. It's religious numbers, right? The perfect numbers, number.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, there's a whole bunch here. But the Jenny boost, like the Jenny boost is my favorite. 8675309.
That's
right.
That's funny. Macintosh sent us 500 sats, and he says, "Sweet episode this week, Grit." Great interview with Oscar. Thanks for all you two do. Go podcasting.
Yes,
thank you,
go podcasting. Thank you, sir.
Go podcasting!
Let's see. Floydian Slips. Love that name. Gave us 3,456 sats, and he says, I would like to welcome you to listen to my podcast, Cooking with AI. Wait, that's
not no.
it. It's called Podcasting for Value.
This is Comic Strip Blog right here. Is he on a different app or something?
No, he's doing it backwards. Cooking with AI instead of AI.cooking. Wait, that's not it.
Oh, I see. Okay, this is a joke. I like it.
Yeah, it's called Podcasting for Value. One idiot's attempt to start a value for value podcast.
Well, nice, man. Thank you.
We just solved the discovery problem with the boost segment. Dash 2.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. This is a huge win, of course.
We've had three so far that you can listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley, a.k.a. Sean McCune, through Cast-O-Matic, sent us 1,000 sats, and he says, censorship-resistant boosts. Boost, boost, boost.
Boost, boost, boost.
Let's see. Is that Comic Strip Blogger came in? Twice.
Wow.
So I will flip that one to the end. Martin from Podfriend.
Hey, Martin.
Sat streamer.
Miss you, Martin. 4,444 sats. And he says, I love seeing all the advancements people are doing in the 2.0 space. Let's give all the people in the trenches a big applause. That's right. Pew, pew.
Thanks, Martin. How's it going, man? We want to know how you're doing. How's the family? How's the house?
Yeah, all
how's
that.
How's the gaming? Wasn't he doing gaming stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's writing an old school 8-bit gamer. He shows up in the dev meetings quite often. It's cool. Always good to catch up cool. with him there. Let's see. We got Cape sent us 1,033 sats, and he says Fountain Boost.
Thank you very much.
Cape. Boost.
Let's see. Kyron is back again with the Mirror Mortis podcast, and he sent us 1,223 sats, and he says, Adam, with regards to your V for V manifesto and people wanting to know more, the first season of the Value for Value podcast covered most of the philosophy behind what you've created. I've also just now started a second season where I'll highlight clips from other Value for Value podcasts. This is a great idea, by the way.
What the hell? Does he already have this exist?
I think so. I think he just launched.
It's called the Value for Value podcast?
Uh-huh. He had a first season that he just had a few episodes, I think, and he gave up on it. And I think he's coming back with a different format where he's playing clips from other other V for V shows.
Is it titled Value for Podcasting Value for Value? Is that what it's titled?
Uh-huh. I think it's just called Value space for F-O-R space value. Uh-huh.
Value F-O-R. Why have I not been interviewed on this podcast?
I don't know.
Just
yeah, answer for yourself.
Back in action, baby. He says, okay, subscribed. Subscribed.
And I showcase how different people are implementing the model. Send a boost to that show or the Mere Mortals if you want a feature. I just think this is a great
coolness
format. Yeah, it's cross podcast promotion with Sats.
What always gets me though, I must be subscribed to this because I had this problem with CurioCaster. It's like where's the subscribe button? Oh, here it is. Boom. Okay.
Boom.
Okay. That big blue button. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Subscribe. Cool. Thanks. Here.
Comic Strip Blogger.
There he is.
Delimiter.
There he is.
15,033 sats. He's upped it because of inflation. He says, howdy, Dave and AC. Are you ready for the Eurovision 2022 final tomorrow?
Oh, man. Am I ever.
Russia is banned, so it's much less fun. Well, thank you for your service to podcasting, and your audience is invited to listen to our podcast about artificial intelligence.
Oh, no, really?
Red is. Have you heard of this podcast?
Tell me more.
Gregory, well, it's read by Gregory William Forsyth Foreman from Kent.
Oh, that's the guy who has some pubs.
Yeah, and the guy on nogendasocial.com.
At GWFF.
Yeah, GWFF. Yeah. Just enter AI.cooking in your web browser or in Podcasting 1.0 or in Podcasting 2.0 app. Yo!
Oh, yo.
Boost.
Thank you very much, CSB. Thanks, appreciate CSB. It.
We got some monthly donors.
Okay. Dynamite.
Have you heard of this app? Podverse.
I have heard of Podverse. It's pretty good.
It is pretty good.
It's all right.
$50.
All right. Nice. Thank you, Mitch.
Coming in tight. Close on the heels there is another guy named Mitch Downey with $10 a month.
Who's this guy? This is so nice. Yeah,
that's my personal donation. And
thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, so.
Well, that's really appreciated, Mitch. Thank you.
I'm not trying to double dip here with two shout-outs.
No.
condense it into a $60 donation.
No. Don't do that,
thank
please.
You very much.
Alex Gates, $25.
Nice.
Podcast consultant.
Thank you, sir.
Highlighted today because of the great work with Live Item and Podping and Podverse.
And a future live stream of the board meeting, at least from this part, with No Agenda Tube, I hope.
When we call Alex the podcast consultant.
We're not kidding.
We mean it. He literally is the podcast consultant.
He is, yeah.
Podcasting 2.0 consultant. David Norman. It's good to see David back. He's popping in and out now.
Haven't seen his new studio back end. I think Dreb is using it. I don't know if they're if they're debugging and stuff, but I'm excited about it.
$25. Thank you, David.
Hypercatcher.com.
Lauren Ball gave us $24.20. Thank you, Lauren.
Thanks, Lauren.
Really, always appreciated. Paul Saltzman, $22.22.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Row of Ducks. Thank you, Paul. Derek J. Visker, great name. $21. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you, Derek.
Damon Kesajak, $15. Jeremy Kavanaugh, $10. Christopher Harabarek, $10. Soren Moeller, $5. Terry Keller, $5. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. And Christopher Cowan, $5. That's our group.
Thank you all so much. Particularly these monthlies is highly appreciated. Really is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You can also consider using the command line boost. Put it on a cron job. That works for us too. PayPal may be easier for you. Thank you all for supporting the project, for supporting the show, and making us feel like it all makes sense. And it does. And so with that, I'm going to immediately touch the third rail.
Oh,
How you doing with fixing that CAPTCHA, Dave?
It is done. It is fixed.
It works? Oh, man. You just got to give me the bottom line on what the heck. That was broken for days. That's not a Dave Jones type thing when it's broken for days. What happened?
Okay, Mitch, I don't know if you're going to commiserate with me or if you're just going to think I'm an idiot, but maybe a little of both. I just know nothing about Webpack and React. And I mean, I literally don't know what I'm doing at all. I know Node. I'm comfortable with Node. Webpack has always been a complete mystery to me. It's like you run a command and then a bunch of magic happens and then stuff just works. And so then what Steven Crater had done, and I'm so thankful for his work on that. He had gotten in and just cleaned up a lot of stuff on the site and put in, he had built the ad feed page. So where people could self-service, add their feed to the index. And he had a CAPTCHA on it, you know, a sort of a, you know, just protection. So the CAPTCHA needs a site key, which is like a big GUID, and it's unique for each site that you put the CAPTCHA on.
Yeah, so that you can train the AI with all your stupid CAPTCHA clicks. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so the site key, you don't really want to hard code that into the, into the page. You really want that to be a separate value because if somebody else is going to download the code and run it, they want a different site key. You don't want to have them. Then every time you do a code update or git pull, it overwrites your stuff. So anyway, you want that value to live somewhere else. And it would be great if it lived in the .env file with all the rest of the environment variables.
That's where I like it.
Mm-hmm. Right in the env.
Stick it right in the env.
Env. Yeah. Yeah, right up in there. Uh-huh. And so you put I put it in there, and then I'm expecting it to be able to just reference it with process.env dot the variable name or the constant name.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't work. Well, then you and Steven B both told me on the Mastodon that it should be using like .env npm package, and that's supposed to like expose these variables into your process.env when they're normally not there. This is all like a different language to me. I mean, it's like you're just speaking in Russian because I don't understand even what the difference is between what's going on with Node and Webpack and everything.
This is some of the trickiest parts of React. Anything that involves Webpack, because that's like compiling and pulling in variables and stuff like that. So you do have to be careful not to expose the private variables. But that's the beautiful thing about podcastindex.social is that there's people there that are happy to help and
totally
guide through this process.
Summer says, what does Dame Jennifer have to say about all this Webpack talk?
No, she doesn't have, she only has math.
It's so hot when you talk math. Run that Sphinx dry. Talk math to me.
Oh, man.
That one's heavy.
Didn't we ban that one? We might have banned that one. I'm sorry about that. I think we banned
it. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we're going to deplatform.
Oh, man.
So I finally figured out, and it finally sort of conceptually made sense to me, and I realized that Webpack is not running with Node. It's compiling to it's compiling static HTML and it's compiling into static HTML and JavaScript. So when you run Webpack, you're building a static site which Node then serves.
Yeah, is that correct? Sounds right. Yeah, welcome aboard.
That sounds right. Yeah, welcome aboard. Welcome to what everybody knew 12 years ago. And so once I realized that, then I'm like, ah, duh. No wonder you can't reference process.env variables, because there is no process.env. Like it's not there because it's a static website. And you can't reference it from the static code. So anyway, so then I went back and finally figured out, okay, there's this other package called .env-webpack and then blah, blah, blah. And now we're all good. And that only that process was a svelte 4 days of work. So that's great. Yeah.
That's what it felt like to us too. I loved all the emails coming into info@podcastindex.org. Hey man, this thing's busted. This shit's broken, man. Fix your shit.
I didn't know anybody even used it. And like evidently like 100,000 people use this page.
Well, that's the beauty of it. I mean, a lot of people are using that. There's a lot going on. I was quite pleased to see all that.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, I refused to just go in there and hard code it just to fix it. I'm like, no, I'm doing this the right
Very
way.
Very good, man. You guys. Yeah, hardcore. Hardcore Dave Jones. Love that.
Anyway.
Okay. All right.
Anything? I want to personally say apologies to Mitch for dropping you inadvertently off of newpodcastapps.com.
Oh, noes.
Which is now fixed, but the app was not showing because the filters were set wrong, and that's fixed now.
So okay, cool. About that. No problem.
And now accessible through nudepodcastapps.com.
If you prefer.
Mitch, thank you so much, man, not just for being here on a Friday, but for everything you do. The leap of faith you took in podcasting 2.0 is incredibly commendable and highly appreciated. Really love what you're doing.
Oh, no problem. I love that you guys came around and started this. This is the most exciting thing I've ever worked on. And the app is going far beyond anything I imagined because of all of these new features that are being brought into podcasting 2.0. So thank you guys and everybody in the community.
Yes.
And I use Sovereign Feeds. I have a Lightning Network address now.
Oh, good.
About 2 minutes.
Yeah, so you're going to send that to me?
Yes, I put it in the IRC chat, actually.
Oh, that scrolled off a long time ago.
All right.
Yeah, just put it on the email or something. You could even do it on social, anywhere, because you can post that publicly.
Okay.
That's cool. I want to say, and you know, give Podverse a try, because one knock that we hear from time to time about podcasting 2.0 apps is because we're building this, it's all sausage being made. It's all running with scissors. You know, things are buggy. I mean, this is all new code, and things don't have the spit and polish that, you know, a podcast apps that have been around for 10 plus years do. And, Podverse is stable. It's a stable app that rarely messes up, and it's got every feature you can think of.
And I use it on the Graphene OS, and I have my own node hooked up to it. Mm-hmm. Not into my own wallet. I'm sorry, not node, but I have a wallet hooked up to it. It works perfectly.
Yeah.
Love it.
Beautiful. Thanks, guys.
Yes. Thank you, everybody in the chat room. Thank you, of course, Stephen B for CurioCaster and Sovereign Feeds and your assistants. Everybody, thank you so much. Dave, thank you, my friend.
No, thank you, Adam.
My brother? Well, thank you so much. That's it, everybody. That is your board meeting. We will return next week. And we might be on the summer schedule soon, so make sure you join us for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening. listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
We have the boosts.
B-O-O-S-T.
Boost!